Blog Talk Radio.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. But sometimes, the soul doesn't get the notice. Has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister, Leandria, here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Lord, deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me.
Yeah.
sing it for real. Come on, help us sing this song. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
Y'all been practicing. I won't fear.
I won't fear.
Filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
Thank you, Jesus. My cup overflowing.
My cup's overflowing.
No weapon can harm me.
No weapon can harm me.
Jesus right there. He always guides me.
He always guides me.
Through mountains and valleys.
Through mountains and valleys.
His joy is refreshing.
His joy is refreshing.
Restores my soul.
Restores my
with confidence. Mercy and goodness.
Mercy and goodness.
Ooh, oh, give me assurance.
Give me assurance.
Oh, that I'll see your glory.
I'll see your glory.
Oh, face to face.
Face to
we
Hello, hello, good evening, good evening. Welcome again, once again, welcome to Prophetic Grace Network, PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, the one and only, the real, authentic, couldn't get it out, truth, unadulterated word of God. I'm just so grateful to be here tonight. Thank you all for joining and tuning in tonight. It's a lot of other things that could have been doing, but you decided to give God your time, set aside time to hear from the Lord, and that's always in order. That's always in order to give God time. He's the giver of the time that we got, because we're out here operating off borrowed time, so from whom we're borrowing time for, we should give time to. And I'm grateful to have gotten this revelation. I just thank God for being who he is in times such as these, because there is never a time that God is not needed.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a time that God is not needed. So when I say times such as these, I'm talking about the times that's opposite of heaven. The times now, because now is always the time to have God in your life, and it's a truly a blessing. It's authentic because his relationship with each one of us is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's different because He's a detailed God. He's a personal Savior. He deals with you on a personal level. You think about how you get things done more outside of a business scope, and you get down to a personal level. Where people come to you and say, man, look, I want to be personal with you. You know, I want to share something personal. That's something intimate. That's something dear to that person, and then they want to open up with you about it. So that speaks volumes to you as well for an individual to want to come and share something personal.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we come down to spending personal time with the Lord, just know God loves it. And open your hearts to do it willingly and freely and joyfully and peacefully. That's what God wants from us, a relationship. He wants access to our life. You know, you see somebody struggling with something, you just like, you know, you go to lend a helping hand, they tell you, move, get back, get away. You like, well, I mean, if I could really help you with that, and you wouldn't have to be struggling, you know, like, I actually can take it from you and carry it up there, but if you want to be like that, well, I'm going to step back. I'm just going to watch. Just going to watch. But I'm here. If you need me, I'm here. You know, and that's the type of God that he is. He's always there. Even when we out of order, he's there. When we got the attitude, he's there. Because we mad because we can't do it ourselves. But the scriptures tells us, Jesus himself says, I can do nothing without the Father, period. And so here we are, joint heirs, followers of Christ. So if Christ could do nothing without, how much more we? We're really having to develop a true mentality, a true mindset on how to serve God. A pure, true mindset, a way of living, and develop a lifestyle that on how to really serve God.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about a relationship. I'm pretty sure that if Abraham and Jonah had a cross paths, that they would have talked about the same God, but God dealt with them in different ways. they could have come into agreement on how good he is and how he's there. And they could sit back and talk about when they were disobedient and talk about when they finally heard and really understood and decided to do what God told them to do and how God blessed. They could share those things, but God did it differently in both of their lives. And he's the same God today, yesterday, today, and forevermore. He said, I change not. So God ain't changing. While we around here changing our minds, we the ones doing all the changing and trying to create different ways on how we want God to work in our lives. You don't tell God how to work in your life. Who are you? Tell him how to work your life. What? He's always there when you need him. And so for us as true believers, we really have to develop, truly during this season, develop what it means to have the mind to serve God. What it means what is God really saying? You know, God always talks about the mind and believing. He even tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So faith is intertwined with your belief. Because there are a lot of things said. Think about throughout your life, all the things that you've heard up until this point. Tell me how much of it have you believed and seen manifest in your life. The belief is very, very important. I'm going to read Romans 15. I'm going to read verse 4 for whatsoever things. I'm reading King James Version. That's not what I'm going to read. It's the 13th verse, Romans 15:13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, what my wife loves to focus on, and I'm going to bring her on momentarily, very shortly, because she still has to give her greetings and whatever the Lord has on her heart. Amplified says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in his promises. Shut your mouth. Huh? It's so simple. And I understand why the Lord is saying what he's saying right now. He says, with all joy and peace, he wants to fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Mm. You got to be comfortable. You got to find comfort in your belief. You got to find peace in your belief. You have to be joyful about your decision and what you decided to believe in and stand on. And he says, the only way you're going to do that is you're going to experience through faith. Your faith. Your faith. That's where it is. And he said that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he letting you know where everything is going to come through. The Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence. So the Holy Spirit is there to build your confidence. The Holy Spirit is there to teach you what it is that you need to be taught in the midst of learning that lesson so that you can walk upright so that your faith won't waver. See, the more we depend on the Holy Spirit, the more we hold on to our faith. We hold on to our faith. And so, wow, that's just a beautiful scripture. I'm going to read it one more time. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, not just joy. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to just be happy. I want you to be at peace in believing. Believing what, Lord? What I said. What else I'm talking about? You trying to play slow on me? What I said, my promises to you. But the only way that's going to happen is through the experience of your faith. You're going to have to put your faith out there.
Mm-hmm. It's like going fishing. You got to toss your faith out.
You got to put your faith out there.
Put it on the line.
You got to put your faith out there. If you do not put your faith out there, do not expect God to show up. Don't.
That's like going fishing though, not putting nothing on the line and expecting to get fish.
Absolutely. You're going to get your turn. You're coming up next.
I have to say that. I'm sorry.
I know. My wife always got it easy in there. I love it though. I was trying to give her her own 20 minutes.
No, I'm fine.
I'm enjoying this. But you understand how it's coming right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, because one thing the Lord been doing with us, like one thing me and Tanisha do every day, we have conversations. We talk. But when we're talking, we are always allowing God to be present.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a time where we like, hey, Lord, hold up. It's me and Tanisha right now. We'll bring you in later. You know, but right now, it's us. No, he's welcome. And he comes in and takes over conversations all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He leads the conversation. And he ministers through both of us to both of us,
mm-hmm.
which gives us like that balance that we need in our lives. But it keeps a constant flow of hearing from him. And what he's been sharing lately, and when God wants you to get something, he presents the opportunity for those particular things to be utilized. Like you would never need a Phillips head screwdriver if you don't have a Phillips head screw to either drive or bring that screw out.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a flathead screw. The Phillips screwdriver won't work for this. And so God is teaching us and showing us different tools that he's given us. And he's showing us the time that we're in now to where he wants us to use that particular tool. Not that the other tools don't matter. We're at a different point of the build in our lives that requires this particular thing to be used.
Mm-hmm.
The painters are not going to show up and paint a house that hadn't first been framed. You have to go through the nails and all of that before you get to the paint, because that's not the painter's job. But although they do have a time set to when they come in to your home to do what they are required to do during the time that they are required to do it. But everybody has a time to get certain things done before the build is complete. And so before our lives is complete, there are different areas of our lives that we learn different things about ourselves when different parts of ourselves are to be operated during that time. And right now is the time for us to truly believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now is that time, folks, for us to truly believe. It's time out for us just knowing of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's time out for us to just be knowing of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to know him. We are in that season. But God is putting on us the assignment to be fulfilled during this time. And it's not going to be fulfilled if you don't believe. God can't fill you with the joy and peace because that comes in believing. Because Miss Lisa was talking yesterday about you could be presented with an opportunity. Let's say your car breaks down, right? You can look at it as if, oh, my Lord, what am I supposed to do? What am I going to do? My car's dead. How am I going to get to work? How am I going to get groceries? How am I going to get these kids from school? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Instead of just going to the source, thinking about it from a Holy Spirit perspective, as okay, now we got an opportunity to see what God's going to do. Yeah, that car dead. That car's a goner. It's a goner. So, okay, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Give me instructions on how you want me to maneuver and to operate. What do you want me to do? That's a believer's first reaction. Because the reaction is habitual. It's a part of you. It's a standard in your life. This is how you believe. This is how you move. And at that place, you're in that place of joy and peace in believing. Because you know how to believe. It's a posture you got to carry when you believe it. It's a posture you have when you know something. When you know that you know. You ever took a test and you know all the answers? I mean, you know every answer. You ain't even really read the questions because you already know the answers. You're like, I know that. B, C. You know, that's how you have to be. That's how God is describing this. In believing, because you're going to have joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith. So your faith has to be tested. Your faith has to be put on the line in order for these things to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only going to manifest by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is what teaches us all things. So if you want to know something, he says, come to me first. Shut your mouth. I'm done. I am done tonight. Come to me first. That's what he's saying right here. He said, you get that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then when you get it by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to abound in hope and you're going to overflow with confidence in his promises. You're going to have an overflow of confidence. Have you ever been like overly confident? That's what God is telling us to be, overly confident in him. He said, I come through every time. I do exactly what I'm going to say, dude. I am not like man that I should lie. Man might forget. Man might run into a situation that he's prioritized more important than yours. He had all good intentions, but he ain't come through. Man may not have the money. But God got everything that we need. And it's all starting with how we are thinking, where our mind is. If you want to see God operate in your life, you want to see miracles operate in your life. You really want to see God do what he does in this present day. I dare you to believe. If that's what you want, believe it. But amen, here we are again. Oh, that's all I got. I am one of your hosts, Terrence.
I'm your other host, Tanisha. And today is July 21st, 2021. It is 7:33 p.m. Central Standard Time, and like Terrence said, we're excited to be here. And what an amazing word tonight about really stretching your faith and really putting your faith on the line, put it out there.
Yeah.
You know, because like as Terrence was ministering, that's what I kept seeing somebody at a dock with a fishing pole. And the person who put the worm on the fishing pole and put the, you know, the pole in the water, they got a fish. But the person who didn't put nothing, the fish were there.
Right.
Ooh, they just kept swimming by because there was nothing to hook it to. And so that's what it's not what God can or can't do. Like that, throw that out of your head. Throw that thought in the trash can, garbage, every time it tries to come up in your mind, because it's not what God can or can't do. He could do anything.
Right.
But are you setting yourself up to receive?
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you go to an ocean that's stocked with fish, if you don't position yourself, right, you got to be there, and you don't put it on the line to receive, it's not that it's not there. You just didn't put it on the line to receive. And it's like your faith is like a magnet. It attracts things.
Right.
From the, you know, it's like it pulls from the Lord. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so it's like your faith being pleasing. It's like he's rewarding us almost because of our faith. To say, look at my child. They believed in me. I'm going to give them what they're believing for. You know, I'm still trying to understand the whole get a full understanding of it. And because I'm seeking that, I know the Holy Spirit will give it to me. But that's just what I've seen in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And look at Abraham, the father of faith. Look at even him wanting a child, him and his wife. They were so advanced in age and even being able to have a child. And even when the child was to be presented to the Lord, he had faith in God. You know, he had faith, and his son was spared. But faith does something. It moves the hand of God. It changes things. So what do you have faith for? Because you have faith. You might not have your faith applied in the right things, but everybody has faith. Faith is not only for things related to, you know, biblical things and spiritual things. People have faith all the time. People have faith in people and jobs and money and investments. People have faith in furniture and their vehicles. People have a lot of faith. But use your faith and put your faith in God tonight and see him move.
Mm-hmm.
See God move. Put your faith on the line so that you can catch all of the blessings that God has for you, so that you can have the abundant life that Jesus died to provide for you. He already paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to show up and collect.
Show up.
That's it. The hard part is done. The easy part, like Terrence said, we were talking yesterday, and like people could look at potential things that would be labeled as problems and say it's a problem and call it a problem and react to it like it's a problem, or they could look at it and say, this is an opportunity for me to see God work. They could get excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lord, my car broke down and I got 33 cents in my account. Woo, what you going to do? I can't wait to see how my daddy going to solve this problem. Or you could say, car broke. I got 33 cents in my account.
Right.
I don't get paid until next week, and when I do get paid, that's gonna go to rent. All my friends are broke. I can't even call my mama and ask her for money.
Right.
Man, I don't know why I'm gonna
get Uber.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm just gonna be walking. My shoes ain't even right. They all kicked over. The soles are thin. Man, this is just. Oh man, this sucks. This is terrible. Why all these bad things always? You could take that approach. As for me, I don't have time to be sitting there having a pity party. I want to be excited. Because when you're excited, when you're excited and when you're expecting, right, there's faith comes with expectation. If you're expecting, you have faith in what you believe is going to happen.
Yeah.
So if you just put your expectation and put your hope in the Lord, you're automatically going to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Who hope for something that they don't really think is going to happen?
Prayer.
Who's expecting, rather, something that they don't think is going to happen? And if you expect something, that means in your head it's already happened. You're just waiting for it to manifest. You expect to get paid on the first, third, and whatever times you get paid. You expect that. So you have faith that it's going to happen. So that's a way that we can build our faith too,
mm-hmm.
is expect the Lord to come through. Expect him to do what his word says to do, especially since his word says he can't lie.
Right.
That's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. We love guarantees for everything but the word.
Mm.
We'll buy furniture, cars, all that based on the guarantees and the warranties because we have faith in the guarantee and the warranty. So we have peace. Now, well, if this thing break down, I know that based on the guarantee or the warranty that I could bring it back up here and get it fixed and I ain't got to pay no extra money. And we have peace and comfort in that. And we can have that same peace and comfort if we just believe the guarantees that God and the promises that God says in his word. Those are guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the ability to do it. You just because you've been doing it your whole life. If you're an adult, you believed in something. You expected something, so you have the ability to expect, and you have faith. If you bought anything based on a guarantee or warranty, you have faith in it. You wasn't sitting there sleepless nights like, dang, I hope if my car, you know, break down, if they don't try to come around and say that their warranty won't work. No, you don't do that. None of you did.
Mm-hmm.
You slept peacefully because you was like, let that transmission start rattling. I'm going straight to the dealership. And you know they going to fix it. You go down there, I mean, just all sorts of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
With your warranty in hand. Have that same faith. Have that same confidence. Have that same energy for the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when your car gets to breaking down and you got 33 cents, I know that my daddy's about to be taking care of me. I already know that. So I'm sleeping easy. I don't care what I got in my bank account. My bank account don't determine nothing because guess what? When you have a warranty on your car, you don't be worried about your bank account because
right.
you already got the warranty.
Mm-hmm.
That never crosses your mind like, oh no, I only got 33 cents. I hope they honor my warranty. Nobody says that.
Right.
That's because one has nothing to do with the other.
Not
and it's the same thing in life. What you got has nothing to do with what he got. So what you thinking about what you got for? Who cares? That's a non-factor. That's completely irrelevant. What you able to do has nothing to do with what he's able to do. So why are you thinking about that? That's a non-factor because he's able to do all things. Your capability and your own power and might, who cares? When the word of God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so why are you even bringing up what you can do in your own power and authority and with your own little tiny might?
Right.
It don't matter. We be making things, issues and factors that are non-factors. They don't matter. We make it matter. So put your faith on the line. I don't care what you got in your bank account. I don't care what your credit score look like. I don't care what your qualifications are. I don't care who your mom and dad was and your background was or what education you got or don't got. I don't care what your speech is. And they say, oh, I can't understand. I don't care how thick your accent is or if you don't, you know, put together sentences well. None of that matters.
Nope.
Quit making it a factor. None of that is a factor of your faith. Faith is a standalone component. So all that other stuff don't matter. So I want you to visualize a garbage can. And all those excuses, all those setbacks,
okay.
all those hindrances, I want you to visualize you slam dunking them into that garbage can because they don't matter. And then take that garbage can, pull it out to the curb.
Yeah.
And have the garbage man come and get it and take it away from you. Because I don't know about you. But I have never put something in the trash and the garbage man took it away and I woke up the next day and it was back on my porch. Never! Once the garbage man takes it, it's gone for good.
Yeah.
It's in the city dump or they took it and sold it. I don't care what they did with it. It's trash to me. I don't want it. I don't care what you do with it. So I want you to take all those setbacks, hindrances, all those bad mindsets, all those what-ifs, all those comparisons, all those, well, I don't have this and I don't have that or what do they say and, oh, how much money I got in the bank or my power and authority, my mind. I want to take all of that, throw it in the trash tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Throw it in the spiritual trash. The trash man is coming to that. That's what we're doing tonight. The trash man, the trash person is coming.
The trash angel.
The trash angel is coming to collect all of your excuses, all of your hindrances, your fake hindrances. They're not even real hindrances. They're only real in your mind. They ain't real for real. You think God's going to say, oh, I can't bless them with a new car because they got 33 cents in their account? No. The price has already been paid. What you worried about what's in your bank account for? Ooh. The price has already been paid. Put your faith on the line tonight and quit worrying about all this other stuff. You better get excited tonight about that 33 cent, that broke down car.
Amen.
You better get excited about that job that you're not qualified for that the Lord told you to apply for anyway. You better be excited about that platform that God told you to be on. And you talking about everybody say you don't speak right. You better be excited. Because all that stuff don't matter. Put your faith on the line.
Put it on the line.
Don't be that person at the dock of the bay with the top of the line fishing rod with the tackle box next to it, the good bait too, not the cheap, the good stuff.
Right.
Fish jumping out the water. And you just don't put nothing on your line. You just sitting there. That's what a lot of us are doing. A lot of us are sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Right.
That's all we're doing. And sitting at the dock of the bay, wasting time and lamenting, oh, I don't have this, and oh, my, why me? Oh,
why cry?
Nobody wants to hear it. Dry your tears tonight. Tie them up. Because all of those things that you see as that roadblock, that hindrance, they don't exist for real. It's only in your head. Like David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow. It's not death for real. It's a fake hindrance. It's not for real a hindrance. It's just a hindrance in your head.
Right.
So that you don't take action because in your mind it's real. But throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
Put that faith on the line tonight. And see what you catch. You're going to catch a blessing. I'm telling you that right now. Put it out there. I know a little bit about fishing. My granddad was a fisher. And let me try to throw something in that water that didn't have no bait on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have gave me a slow blink for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing? Like, I know you didn't expect to catch nothing. And that's kind of not how that works. I've told you what you need to do if you want to catch a fish.
Right.
And the Lord has told us what we need to do to please him.
Yeah.
He's told us what he's able to do. He's told us what to do in every circumstance and situation that we could ever face on this side of eternity. And we sitting there at the dock of the bay, wasting time, lamenting to anything with ears.
Trying to figure out what's been figured out.
It's already been figured out. What are you doing? It's already figured out. You don't have to think about it. It's already a done deal. It's already paid for. I have never paid for my groceries at the store and then sat there and like, how am I going to pay for these groceries? I take my bag and I go home.
Yeah.
It's already paid for. Whatever the debt is already paid. It's paid for. What you got and don't got don't matter. All you need to do is partake. That's it. So let's move our faith tonight. Let's put it on the line. Let's get everything that God has for us. Let's get excited. Mm. Come on, 33 cent broke down car. Let's get excited. Because when Terrence said that, when we were talking yesterday, I said, man, so that is so true. It's just about the way you look at it. Is it a problem or is it an opportunity for God to show himself? Is it an opportunity for you to get into your word and say, okay, I'm facing this. What does the word have to say about that? Let me find some truth that I can hold on to. Let me find something lovely I can think on instead of that broke down car and that 33 cent. It's an opportunity.
That would drive you crazy.
It really will. I have been there before where a car broke down and my funds was mighty low. It was low to the floor.
I remember I just went to bed because I didn't have the energy to keep trying to figure out what I was going to do. And somebody ended up blessing me with paying for the car repair. And I was so grateful. I was like, I'm glad I didn't waste no sleep this night, you know, because I didn't have it. It just wasn't going to happen. That car was just going to sit there. That car was going to sit there. But there have been plenty of times where I was up all night wondering and trying to figure something out. And I wish that I had that time back, because time is the one thing you cannot get back. You can't get it back.
It's not coming back.
Trust me.
On rewind.
No, you can't. So don't sit at the dock and waste your time, because you're not going to get it back. Stretch your faith and get excited. Count it all joy. That's what the word says.
Yeah.
To count it all joy. Woo! 33 cent in the account and a broke down car. That's joy.
I already know what the solution to the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
So how long does a problem be a problem when you already know what the solution
right.
is? You know what I'm saying? So it's really not a problem. It's a situation. It mm-hmm. might be a little slight issue.
Right.
Something I got to deal with.
Yeah, it's a little hiccup.
But I'm not going to make it a problem.
No.
I'm not going to make it something major in my life that stunts my growth, that hinders me from seeing and doing what God wants me to do, especially when he's giving us the blueprint on how to solve the problem.
Right. We just be the ones that don't have the faith to believe that the blueprint
Absolutely.
Works.
Absolutely.
Like I said, it's not what God can and can't do. He can do all things.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the issue.
That gospel will get you excited.
Mm-hmm.
You get to read it, man. You get excited to the time hit to where you got to put that word to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you having fun in class. You enjoying it. But now it's time to put that to work.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're lost. You know, now you're wondering. But you just been prepped for the moment that you are already in now. And so we have to really lean on the Lord. We really have to depend on him fully.
Mm-hmm.
No, will you understand everything?
No.
No.
Who asked you to? Who asked you to? The Lord said it's all about get an understanding. But while you're trying to get an understanding is not going to come until it's time for it to come.
Right. It's going to show up when
yes,
it needs to show
it's
up.
It's going to show up when it needs. You know you're going to get it, but while you're in the process, keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put those things in place. You know, you ever seen a fire be put out? You ever watched the fire department work a fire? It's an amazing thing of how they're constantly communicating even though the fire is still burning. You got other people around hysteric and hollering and this, that, and other, but they already have a system in place on what they got to do to get the fire under control. Because when it gets under control, then the fire can be put out. It got to get under control first. And so you might have windows blowing out. Boom!
Mm-hmm.
Ceilings falling in. Boom! But while that's going on, the fire department is still getting the fire under control so that they can put it out, so they can extinguish it. And so sometimes it feels like that in our lives, you know, where we're like, man, when will the fire stop? No, they're doing what's necessary to get it under control.
Right.
You know, because oxygen keeps fires blazing. And so sometimes you got to create spaces to where you can get in to get the solution in there to get the fire under control.
Right.
You know, it's coming in. The fire's still blazing, but you ever seen a house still on fire, but the water is dropping on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a certain amount of water, you know, or whatever they're using to put the fire out that's needed to get it there.
Right.
It's like you go up to a fire and you got a water gun you know, a little bit of plate water guns, mm-hmm. two squirts. You got that much water. Come out. I'm ready. You know, and you go up to a whole house fire with that. Yeah, you put water on it, but it wasn't the necessary amount that was needed.
Right.
And so when we go through things, there's a certain amount of things that's needed.
Yeah.
You know, to handle what's going on with you,
right,
or in your life, it's a certain amount. Because Lord talks about the measures of faith.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, certain things need a different measure. You know, and so when we activate our faith, you can't go into every situation thinking that it's the same faith I use to order an ice cream cone. No, that's delusion. Right. And that's how the trick of the enemy would get you to start thinking that. You know, you put your faith out there and then God can come through.
Right, because you got to believe at your level. It's okay
right.
to believe at your level, you know, because faith is like the currency of heaven. You know, if you only got $5 faith, you know, and you're trying to believe for $1 billion blessing,
mm-hmm.
you don't have it. You don't have enough, and it's okay.
Right.
It's okay that you don't have enough. It's okay to identify that and say, I just don't have the faith to believe. That's okay to mm-hmm. say, if that's the truth. But guess what? God will get you there. Just like how you have to accumulate, you know, right? Like if you want to buy things that are more expensive, sometimes you could just save up
mm-hmm.
and get it. So it's not that you're not going to ever be able to get it. It's just that you have to accumulate it. You have to accumulate the currency that's needed to obtain it. And the same thing with faith. You know, God will get you there. If it's for you and God has it that, you know, you got $1 billion faith, or $1 billion blessing, he's going to build you up to where you have $1 billion faith. You know, believe on your level. And sometimes we try to be all outrageous and then things don't go down, but it's like, no, you didn't. No. And it's okay. It's okay. Cause I have to have my faith built up too. You know, faith is you build it and you gain it and you accumulate it. You know, first you believe it for something small, like your car keys. You know, you pray and God takes you right to your car keys. And then you start believing for bigger things. And then you start believing for bigger things because you're accumulating faith.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to believe for more and more. And he starts to stretch your faith more and more. You know, Terrence and I are in that stage right now where God is really stretching our faith. And the way that God is stretching it is God is having us to believe for things that we do. We just are not in a position to obtain. We're not in a position. But he is. So our position don't matter. We just take that and put it in a spiritual trash can and let the angel come and the garbage angel come get it and take it away because that's not a factor. Well, we can and can't do. What can God do? Can do you believe? What do you believe I can do? Do you believe I can do this?
Right.
Yeah, Lord, I do believe you can do it. I know I can't. So I know if you put that desire in me to do it, you're going to have to do it because I can't do it. You know, but I'm going to sit back and watch you do it. I'm going to sit back and watch you work, and I'm not going to stress it because if you and I are having a conversation about this and you put it in me to believe for that, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not going to worry about how. That's who cares? That don't matter. The how is just going to give me a testimony so that I can help somebody else expand their faith. But I'm not going to allow the how to be a hindrance to me as I wait.
Right.
I'm just going to be excited about the how so that when I explain to people how you did it in the natural, because everything has to still take place in the natural.
Right.
Then I can tell my testimony and somebody else can see how God, how he does things. So let's do a collective prayer over people's faith and putting it on the line and believing, and let's put the hindrances and the, a lot of this is self-hindrance. A lot of these are self-induced, self-driven. It's mental. It's not real. It's a smoke screen. It's not a real hindrance. It's not really death. It's a shadow, the real thing. Let's take those things and let's throw them away tonight and not expect them to even return, just like our regular trash. Nobody's up at night hoping that that trash don't come back. Let's have faith to believe that the things we throw away spiritually are not going to return. And when they do, we're going to say, we need you to not. I'm going to need you tonight, okay? Heavenly Father, we've come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, thanking you for another opportunity to come together before your throne, Lord, and make our requests be made known. We give you glory, honor, and praise, Father God. And we just ask that you would stretch our faith tonight, Father God. Help us to put our faith on the line so that we can obtain all of the things that you would have for us, so we can catch all the blessings, Father God. And help us, Lord Jesus, to take the things that are fake hindering us and throw them away spiritually, Father God, never to return. Help us to stand on your word, to know that your word is true. Even our circumstance very well could be true, right? That's a true circumstance if we got 33 cent in the bank and a broke down car. That could be a true circumstance. But we can apply the absolute truth to that circumstance, because circumstances that's in the world are fluid. They could change. They're not a end-all, be-all. Help us to identify that one thing, one gesture, one blessing, one phone call, one second can change our entire lives. And so help us to not be in the mindset of believing that what is right now is always going to be in our lives when it comes to circumstances and situations that arise. Help us to see that those things are temporary, but you are eternal, and help us to focus on that. And Lord, we just ask that you would, as a body of Christ, that you would give us the boldness so that we can proclaim your word into this world, this lost, dying world that's around us, this darkness. Help us to be the light in this dark world. Help us to be the salt of the earth. Help us to draw people. Give us the verbiage. Give us the gestures. Give us the words. Give us what we need to draw people onto you. Hopeless people. Lost people, so that they can serve you and expand the kingdom, Father God, so that their soul can be saved. Use us, Father God. Expand this network, PGM. Bless it, Father God. Bless everyone attached to it. Bless Randy. Bless Julie. Bless all of our hosts and all of our listeners, Father God. Bless us and help us to be used, because, Father God, I know for a fact that the voice of the prophet is the voice that you're using in these end times. You told me that personally before I even heard of PGM, before I even truly knew what a prophet was. So help us to use our voice, Father God, in this world, and to only speak what you desire for us to speak, and give us the boldness and the confidence to do it. Lord, we just love and honor you, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was a good word, babe.
It really was.
That got me excited, because I was kind of, you know, feeling like, you know. Man, that perked me up. I mean, that was like a triple espresso, you know, because it got me excited, because, like you said, like, we really just got to put our faith out there. And we really got to be excited. Even when you said it yesterday, I mean, it hit me like.
I didn't even think that's what we was going to talk about tonight.
Right, we never know.
No.
But this is such a good word, and I love how the analogy about just sitting there at the dock. Nobody goes to the dock to not fish. I mean, some people do like to, you know, enjoy the sunset and all that, but they're not going to the dock with a fishing pole just to sit there with the fishing pole. They're going there with their fishing pole because they want to catch fish. And so a lot of the times as believers, we want the blessing. We got the equipment, right? We got what it takes, but then we don't – the one little thing – doesn't matter how good your fishing pole equipment is, right? You can have a stick on it and a spring on it, or you can have one of those top of the line ones, push a button and it, you know, retracts and detracts and all that kind of stuff. Don't matter if you ain't got no bait. Who cares what you got? Whether you got a stick and a spring or top of the line, I don't know what top of the line was. I haven't gone fishing in a long time. But regardless, both of them need the bait. So it doesn't matter if you have big faith, little faith. You still need faith. We need it. And we want to be pleasing to God, too. So it's not even about what we can get from God, about getting the blessings. Now, we're entitled to them, so I don't know about you, but I want everything I'm entitled to. But we, most importantly, we want to be pleasing to God. And we can't be without faith, because without faith, it's impossible. You can't please God without faith. You cannot do it. Pleasing God and lack of faith are polar opposites. It doesn't exist.
Absolutely.
It does not exist. You're not pleasing God if you don't have faith.
Nope.
It's impossible, the word says. So we want to be pleasing to God. And when we're pleasing to God, guess what? And he really showers it on, like our kids. You know, we love our kids, whether they're messing up and breaking your crock pot or if they're getting A's in school.
Mm-hmm.
We love our kids regardless if they're, you know, doing things that could be disappointing or doing things to where you're like, that's my boy.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, as a parent, when your kid is doing things that, you know, you've trained them up to do and all that, and the things that please you, you just want to just bestow on them even more and more,
mm-hmm.
you know, like just things, you know, like even in the word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added onto you. Because when you're seeking ye first the kingdom of God and you're doing things according to the kingdom, you have to have faith to do that. You're pleasing God. He's giving you all those other things. It's like parents who like to give your child things when they're pleasing you, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're parents, so we understand that. So I just pray that we all, let's be pleasing to God tonight and every night and every day. You know, we're not going to be perfect at all times. We're not. But let's try. Let's try to be pleasing. Let's try to be pleasing. And let's get all that Jesus died to give us. We're entitled to those things. We have the right to them. We have the right to an abundant life and all the blessings. We have a right to healing. We have a right to knowledge if we love God and we have a reverential fear of him. We have a right to certain things. Let's get all that we got while we're here on this side of eternity. Eternity is going to be amazing. But we have things here. We can have a abundant life here. Let's get it. Let's get it. Amen.
Amen. Go to this first caller here if you want prayer. Just hit one on the dial pad. If not, you're still going to get it anyway. But what that'll do is allow us to come to you individually and hear what you have to hear, what the Lord has to say for you. So without further ado, let's get here so we can keep going. First call, 610-969.
Hello.
Hey, Lisa.
Hello. Oh my goodness, y'all, I'm sorry. I just came back. I'm sorry, y'all. Shalom. I just came back in the room where the phone was. I was like, oh, I got to go back. I had to do something real quick. Oh my goodness, God is so good. God, you are so good, guys. Shalom, everybody.
Hello.
I'm so blessed.
Yes. Yes. It's a good day that we're in. It's a good time.
Yes.
It really is. And it's a lot of things going on, but it's a good time for a true believer.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to see God's hand move. It's not. We're not going to be hearing about it. We're going to be witnessing.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to be witnessing and experiencing the hand of God move during this season.
Yeah.
And you have to expect the unexpected, because the world ain't expecting to see God's hand move.
Right.
That's unexpected. But the believers are expecting what's unexpected.
Amen.
So we're expecting to see what God is doing, and that's honestly what I see for you, Lisa, the fact of your expectation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're really putting pressure on the expectation. You're really applying the expectation factor, expecting what you are believing God for, because it's becoming so real to you. Because it is real. But you're finding, like the scripture said tonight, that you're finding joy and peace in what you believe.
Because
when you find joy, peace, it's like getting on the highway, right? And you know how when you put the car in cruise control, because ain't no traffic in front of you, you just got highway, and you can just put it on cruise control because you ain't got to be worried about hitting no brake because we going. That's where we are. That's where we are. And that's why I see you right now being able to sit back and get in cruise control in the place where things happen automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have found joy and peace in what you believe. Because sometimes, you know, being a believer, we can look at it as a burden because of the things that God wants you to believe for. Then you look at what's going on in our quote-unquote natural reality, which is really a false reality, because whatever we see naturally, it has to first be connected to what's going on internally. And so when we want to see the shift of our natural, we first got to shift the spirit. We got to pull on it. We got to pull from the spirit. And that's what the Lord said, the Holy Spirit will give you that power to do those things to where you can abound in it.
Mm-hmm.
Abound in it.
Abound in it. Amen.
And that's what I really see God really taking you to that. Where you are in that place, Lisa. Right now you're like going through like a different cycle of the training. You know, like you've entered in a while ago, but it's a different phase of the training.
Okay.
You know, it's another aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because just when we think, okay, I know how to run 5 miles, you know, I know how to do push-ups, you know, what else is there to learn? You know, but there's still more, you know. It's like I know how to do that, you know, but there is still more. There is still more. And so right now, God really has you learning this next phase and getting into that place where you can rest truly and find the joy and peace in what you believe, in him, in his promises,
mm-hmm.
in what God has promised you, and applying that pressure that's needed to it. So when situations arise in your life, you're looking at them as opportunities and not problems.
Okay, and amen.
No problems. You don't have problems.
Amen.
The non-believers have problems. They got some real issues. You know, but for the people, we don't have problems. We have opportunities.
Amen.
That's being presented. And so that perspective is going to overwhelm you, and it's going to drive you, like really, really drive, like a driven focus like never before to get it done, to see it manifest, you know. And I really see God doing it for you, Lisa, in these days to come. Well, he's doing it now, but you're going to see more of the development in the days to come. And that's what I got.
Amen. What I'm seeing for you, I'm seeing you're going to see a shift, like something completely flip, like a flip. Like you're going to really see the wealth of the wicked being given to the righteous.
Mm.
And you're going to be a recipient of the wealth of the wicked being given to the righteous. And you're going to see, like, you know, what the world says, tables turn, right? They say one thing about those tables, they will turn. And I've seen it in life where I've seen people who were like at corporations, for example, corporate America. I have so many stories about corporate America. Been working in corporate America since I was 19. And I have seen it in corporations where a person will be an entire peon, right? They're like bottom of the barrel of the totem pole. And there'll be somebody that's like at the top. And I've seen it flip. And that same person now has worked their way up, and they have surpassed the person who was, at the top. And sometimes it's been in a situation where that person at the top was treating them bad. And now they're their boss. I've seen it, you know, because I know one thing I would tell people at every company I've worked for, you know, when I see people with certain attitudes, I'm like, be careful how you treat people because you never know who is going to be your boss. You stay here long enough, you never know. I've seen it too many times. I've seen those tables turn. And you're going to see that. You're going to see people who are, you know, wealthy, and they're not even good with their wealth. They're just all flaunting it and wasting it, squandering it, and they might look at you a certain way. And that's going to flip it. You're going to be the one that is wealthy, and they will not. We're going to see things before this year is out. We're really going to see some harvest.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see it because we're going to be like, man, what happened? That person was, man, they were on top. What? It's like the bottom fell out, and they just hit it with a whole flood. You know what I'm saying? That boom. We're going to see harvest this year. We're going to see it, and it's good, bad, and ugly. Now, you've got good harvest because you're going to really see the wealth of the wicked given to the righteous, and you're going to be a recipient. You are a recipient of that. And you're going to see people even that you know personally, some people that you just observe, but you're going to see things flip where you're like, man, that person lost a job. They done, their house got taken away. This and the other. You're going to see it. Meanwhile, you're going to be able to have things that you desire financially. You know, it's going to be a flip. Lord, thank you for Lisa, Father God. Just give her the humbleness. Anytime a person accumulates a lot of wealth in a small period of time, there's always the threat of, you know, of us swelling up with pride, whether it be a good pride or a bad. But help her to just remain humble and to just be mindful and to come to you. You know, of course, people get a lot of money. They want to splurge on certain things, and that's fine. But help her to just stay humble. And even when she sees people start to crumble, help her to just have compassion. Because sometimes when, especially when people have been taunting us or doing us dirty, and we see it start to fall, it's easy to be like, see, that's what you get. But help her to not have that attitude, to just compassion for them, but to also have the understanding that people sow seeds. And when you sow seeds, you reap a harvest. So if you have a compassion, but you also have an understanding to say, man, you know, like basically they did it to themselves, but Lord, help them to get out of it. Help them against them because they are their own enemy because they've got that pride and that destruction is always coming afterwards. I thank you, Father God, for the blessing. I thank you for the wealth. I thank you for the finances. I thank you for the wealth of wisdom as well. Let that all be done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I was really about to add wisdom, and then you did. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. First, oh, man. Okay, let's address something. I wanted to write down what you said about faith component. You wrote, I went to go write it down, and then I got distracted or interrupted. But you said something earlier to me, Shal, that was like, whoa. That's a quote right there. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely, what was it? So maybe somebody who's listening, or I'll just go listen to it again. You know what I mean? But that was fire. And so I just want to give you some feedback right quick. So I've been pressing into the Lord. We've had these discussions before. So it's interesting that, you know, Brother Terrence, you said about, you know, the it's happening again. It's a same cycle but a different phase. Okay, so I've been pressing into the Lord because we have something over here in Philly called Kensington. And there's like people literally like zombies out there, yo. Like it's so horrible. The fentanyl epidemic is taking people out. And one of them is one of my friends' sons. I have friends that have sons, just like I have a son, that are troubled, but I know they have callings on their life. So I've been contending with God. Like, I've been preparing myself for a long-term fast because just like Prophet Randy, I used to love to fast, and I'm struggling right now. And it's becoming laborious. And but I'm still like, I'm contending because I was like, God, there's no way. Like, I'm like, there's no way that the enemy can win. I see all this around me, just like you were prophesying and praying right now. I see it all around me in the natural, right? But mm-hmm. I cannot believe that the enemy has this victory because God has the victory. I know. I was like, no matter what my people tell me, my friends, and, you know, like a lot of people rely on me, you know, for, you know, spiritual support in prayer. So I have to hear a lot, you know, and God strengthened me, you know. My strength comes from the Lord. So I just refuse. Like, I'll let people vent, you know, and just express themselves. But then I'm just like, okay, no, but God got a plan. God gets the victory. And then I just start speaking the word of the Lord. You know, the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Like, no matter what is going on, I do stand on the word of God. And I am content because I need to see, and I will see, because you guys even prophesied it through the word of the Lord, that I'm going to see his victory. I want to see mm-hmm. these young men. There's people struggling with identity issues, gender identity issues, and just identity issues, just even if it's not gender, identity issues. They don't know who they are. They're bound up, you know, and it seems like the enemy seems to have so much power and strength at the moment, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. And I just know that I'm going to see the victory because I've been really contending with God, like really, really, like, God, I know you have a plan, like, what is it? And then the second part of this, the wealth of the wicked. So that's a confirmation. I was just talking to God earlier today, as a matter of fact, because there's been a prophecy like Joseph, but different. Not like oh, I seen the stars bowing down to me or anything like that, but there's just been a promise. But I know it's more of an assignment. It's more of a stewardship for what's coming. Mm-hmm. And it's been a long-term dream, and, like, I wasn't wise before in speaking on it, you know, just like Joseph. And I had things mixed up. I thought things were going to be a certain way, a certain timing, you know, certain people involved, and it wasn't that. So, like, now I just been putting on the back burner, but I know that it's God's perfect timing when it's coming about, and I'm glad that it didn't happen before because I was not aligned with the right people before, and one of the instructions that the Lord had given me years ago, okay, was that one of the parameters is if anyone asks me, excuse me, when I come into this, to this wealth, I'll call it wealth, because you guys said it was wealth, that it's anyone who asks me, the answer is automatically no. That's how I'm going to know, because God's going to show me exactly how to distribute it. And it's more for building, and it's more for, like, when things get real rough, we're gonna have enough. You know what I mean? The children of God are gonna have what we need, and more than enough. You know, and mm-hmm. so that was confirmation because I was just talking about it again today to the Lord, just today, y'all. Okay, so y'all was in my conversation with God, so I know that it was Holy Spirit talking to me. I know it was Holy Spirit talking to me. So, I do receive that. I do receive the word of the Lord, and I'm so thankful because it's so encouraging. Because y'all don't know what I'm talking to God about in what I'm going through. You know, I am feeling joy and peace though. You are on point with that. I don't, even though I'm contending, and like I said, the fasting has been laborious for me. Instead of, like, before in the past, the fasting was energizing, and, you know, like, I'm struggling, y'all, okay? So then God is so good, y'all. I call him Papa Dios. Oh, my gosh, I call him Abba. I call him my daddy. I just love him so much. He gave me an instruction. I asked him for an instruction. My birthday was on Saturday, and I was spending the day with the Lord, and I had such a beautiful day with the Lord. It was just a day that of reminiscing and just reconnecting. And I asked for him an instruction. I was contending, I was petitioning, actually. I wasn't even contending. I was petitioning again for my son and some situations with my family. And then he answered me right away. And then I asked him for a specific instruction. I was and he gave me one. And it was like, okay, you don't have, stop fasting. Stop fasting because it's being laborious to you. I'm doing it it's really sacrificing, you know what I'm saying? And then he's like, you know what? He gave me instruction to worship, just worship. You know, the worship is our warfare. And that comes so easy to me, y'all. Like, that to me is like, really, God? Okay, yeah, okay, I'm down for that, you know? And not only did he give me that instruction, I have, people around the globe, around the world, we're doing this for 8 days. So I'm so thankful how God, he meets you where you're at. Like, he's not a taskmaster. He is our Father, and he loves us so much, and he does have a plan, and he does love us. Because another thing I've been bringing before him is how people don't know. I've been very in a consecrated place for some years now, years, okay? So when I go to the gas pump, when I go to, people watching TV, I'll pass by, it jars me because I'm not in that world anymore. Like, I keep myself up with current cultural news and things like that, pop culture, just to know what's up, and God lets me know what's up, to pray and stuff, but I'm not in it. So, when I go to the gas pump out here, they play music. They play music at the gas pump. So I'm like, yo, and it's everything seems to be corrupted and contaminated, TV, regular TV shows, they be cussing, y'all. Regular TV shows that I probably would have loved and watched before, and, I'm not coming down on anybody for TV or anything like that. It's just where I'm at. And so I'll be like, oh, it goes against my spirit. I'm like, oh, man. But regular people, and I was a regular person before the Lord took me out, they're just, living their life, living their life, nothing wrong. They go to church, they watch TV at night, boom, 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 it's all good. But you get desensitized, you really get desensitized because it's being pumped. It's just being pumped through the airwaves. So I've been crying out for our children, our little ones, and our youth, and our, the younger generation, because they're being indoctrinated and programmed. And it really bothers me. It really, really, really bothers me because the stuff that is out there for pop culture for our children is occultic. It is straight up occultic. Almost everything, y'all. Do some research if you don't believe me. The cutie things that you would think, oh, yeah. Nah. Yep. It's not. It's straight up satanic, a lot of it, y'all. I'm not trying to start a controversy here, but, it is what it is. And I'm going to stand for righteousness because I heard a man of God. His name is, he's a young boy, he's a young guy, he's a man, and he's paid his dues, but he was talking about how he gets flack because of, he's not, with the pop culture and, certain movies and things like that, and how the Western American church is not walking in holiness, and I agreed with him, but he was saying that he gets a lot of flack or whatever, and he said, you know what, he tells people, and it just resonated with me so much, so I'm going to share it with y'all over here, over this airwaves, that the Holy Spirit in him doesn't want those things before his eyes, because we're not our own anymore. We've been bought with a price, okay? We belong to the Most High God, okay? So yes. It's not like our own life and our own body. And being that he dwells within us, he doesn't want to see those things. He doesn't want to hear those things. Those things don't please him. So if you look at it from that point of view, it's not even like a conviction, convicting. I mean, it is convicting, but it's more of like, yeah, aha. It's like an aha moment. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like we just want to be with rules and regulations or whatever. We just want to be a holy people set apart because the Lord has goodness for us. And he will take us into those dimensions, instead of like dumbing ourselves down or settling for the, you know, the counterfeit or not the most excellent thing, we can give ourselves over to the Lord Most High, and He will. It's not boring. He takes us into dimensions. We get to go into heavenly places and encounters and the mysteries of God. So it's worth it to set yourself apart and let the Holy Spirit dwell in a pure vessel, because that way you can go into the kingdom dimensions and see the realities of where we're really from and where we're really going and who we really are. So I just want to encourage everybody with that.
Amen.
Okay, I love you guys.
Thank you for putting it out there.
Thank you. Yeah, and I could go off about what the all the occultic stuff, but you know, we don't have time for all that. But if people really want to know, Holy Spirit will show you what's really going on. And when back in the day when I went down the rabbit hole, it wasn't time. It affected me really badly because I saw it was the information, it's the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, because you have all this information, right? And it's pretty much factual information, but with me, it was out of balance because there was no hope. I was like, oh my gosh, everything's evil, evil, evil. And it was out of balance because you need to be rooted and grounded in who God is and our identity in Christ and how victorious and good that our Papa is. That way, when you're exposed to like the dark evil that's going on underneath, behind the scenes and underneath the facade that's being portrayed, you know, okay, this is really going on, but we're in a position where we can pray and that we can intercede and that we can stand with God and knowing that even though those things are going on, He's still good and He still has a plan. Back then, I didn't have that. I actually was like overwhelmed with anxiety and depression because of all the evil that I got exposed to, you know, like it was, and you know what, that was back in the, like after 9/11, when I started going down that little, whatever you want to call it, conspiracy theory rabbit hole. And now in 2021, things are coming out, y'all. Things are really coming out. So, you know, it was true, but it's not for us to focus on what the enemy is doing, because we're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus and what our Father is doing, like how Jesus always said that He does what His Father does. So that's my prayer for all of us, that we see what our Father is doing and we do it. We can really focus on like on what He's doing and what it means to advance the kingdom, to establish the kingdom, you know, the kingdom of God. So I'm very excited for the words that you gave me tonight. I really thank God for y'all. I always tell you, but I'm going to tell you again, I really love you guys, and I love the gift that you have and the way the Holy Spirit flows through you, y'all. I feel so blessed. I feel blessed that I actually left the room, and, like, I thought, oh, you know, because I called in later, and I feel so blessed that He brought me back in time, and I heard y'all say 6 hours. I was like, oh, snap. I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful. Our God is so good. He's so good.
When it's your time, all the other stuff doesn't even matter. You're going to get on when He needs you to be on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're going to be where you're supposed to be, because those are your intentions. Then you're going to be there during the time He wants you to be there. And so what you shared tonight, you know, was definitely in line with the belief, because we have a lot of things that the enemy is doing, and a lot of people that are, let's say, they're casually walking in Christianity and are missing out because they really don't believe. You know, so many people don't want to believe that the enemy is real.
Yeah.
They don't want evil things go on in the world. Like, there are people that are under demonic and evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be delusional. They don't want to think that, oh, no, man, no.
They can't handle it. They can't.
God,
that happened, you know, man, please. But like Tanisha was talking about last week about question everything. You question it. Because as Jesus said, seek ye and ye shall find. If you're seeking the truth, you'll always end up at him.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to always end up right to him. And so, yeah, ask your question. See, go on your journey. So when you go through all of it, now you can bear witness to my glory. You can bear witness to who I am. You're gonna be able to bear witness to that. And so I believe it. But before we go tonight, I want you to do a corporate prayer for us, Lisa. And we're going to let go so we can get on. I just like the way the Lord did it tonight. This was different, and it was definitely needed. Mm-hmm. But it's on you whenever you're ready.
Okay, Father, we thank you. Oh, we give you glory and honor today. My God, you're so good. You're so good, God. Oh, we thank you so much for all that you are. You're such a good Father to us, Father God. And we just want to give you all the glory and honor and praise, Lord God. I ask that you help your body of believers, your family, your sons and daughters, that you help us to yield to you, Father God, that you help us to submit ourselves fully to you, Father God, that we would know who we are in Christ Jesus. We would know the transaction fully of that cross and what every birthright and every benefit that cross gives us. We thank you, Lord God, that not only did Jesus die on the cross for us, but he rose again, Lord God, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and that we would know, Father God, what it is to be seated at the right hand in Christ Jesus. Oh, Father God, would you open up our eyes to see more of you? Would you open up our ears to hear you clearly, to have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, to want to be set apart, to want to walk in holiness? Oh, that we would want to just devour your word, your written word, the logo, so that you can reveal it in the rhema. Oh, Father God, would you help us to be purified and cleansed? Would you heal our soul, Father God, so that we would have no unforgiveness, that we would have any misunderstandings, Lord God, that all the trauma and all the hurts and pains that would just hold us back, would you just heal us, Father God, sovereignly, Lord God. Lord God, would you bring your body of believers together in unity so we could be in one accord, that we could be walking as one and in one accord with one agenda, which is you and the kingdom, advancing the kingdom. Oh, Father God, would you show us what it means to be the manifest glory of your sons and daughters here on earth, Father God? Would you show us what that means, Lord God? Oh, Father God, would you rip down all the constructs of man, religiosity and systems, oh, Lord God, would you rip those down? And, Lord God, would you help us to be willing to walk on the water with you, Lord God? Oh, Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, that every prayer that we bring before you with thanksgiving, that you, Lord God, said that you would answer as long as we ask in your will. So I thank you, Lord God, that every petition that every person has before you tonight for their loved ones. Lord God, we thank you. We call it the done. We thank you that they are saved. We thank you that they are set free. We thank you that they are healed. We thank you that they are walking in wholeness as we are walking in wholeness, because you said that we would prosper even as our soul prospers. That's your wish for us. So we thank you for that prosperity of soul. We thank you for that prosperity, Lord God, in the natural realm, in the spiritual realm, Lord God. We thank you for what you're doing, because you said that you were going to blow our minds when you said that you would do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything we could ask, think, or imagine. I ask that you open up our imaginations, Lord God, Father, that you open it up to a bigger and better dimension of your glory, Father God. Oh, Lord God, I thank you for showing us what it is to love. Show us what it is to love, Father God, that we would love in action, not just in feeling, because that's not the truth of what you are in your love, but show us what it means to love, that we would learn how to love, Father God, love as you love, unconditionally, sacrificially, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your kingdom being established here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord God. Raise up an army, Lord God. Make us a spotless, blemish-free bride for you, because we say, Jesus, you are our beloved, and we are yours. Oh, hallelujah. The king is coming. Oh, gloria a Dios, hallelujah. The king is coming. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that it is done so today. And we're going to walk it out with you and our brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, rando sherebo kaya. Hallelujah. Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Gloria a Dios.
It is so. Hallelujah. I just thank everybody for getting that tonight. Yes, everybody got it. Open your hearts and receive that. All that the Lord has shared tonight, receive that in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you again. Always a pleasure. It's always a joy and an honor to have you on and share.
Likewise.
Forward to hearing the reports.
The kingdom report.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely. So you take
Amen.
Care.
I want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
Oops, sorry. Thank you, Lord God, for Prophetic Grace Network, for Prophet Randy Chandler, Miss Julie, Lord God. All the ministers and all the participants in this Prophetic Grace Network, PGN, Lord God, have your way. Your will be done. Your kingdom come in Yeshua's name. I just wanted to bless, you know, and speak that over PGN before we hung up.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Okay. All right.
All right. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, y'all. Love y'all.
Love you. Good night, everyone.
Call back in.